Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam, Hilchos Yontif, Perek Dalet, Halacha Test, Chapter 4, Law 9, page 226 and 227. Last couple of halachas, we're talking about breaking certain items to prepare the food to come out of the shells or whatever. And the last item, for example, was talking about a spit that was bent out of shape. And even though you can, and it was something you couldn't do on Erev Yontif, and you cannot fix it. And this is basically getting into a whole area which is going to continue in Halacha Tes and Halacha Yud, where it's going to be discussing this concept that we'll learn in more detail in the Sefer about the idea of Machshirei Ochel. There's a concept of we allow you to do things for food. And then there's something called the machshire, the things that are preparing it. It's the stage before the stage of the actual cooking of the food itself. You're preparing things, you're preparing things. For example, the spit. The spit was bent out of shape. So the malacha and the spit, but that's just to make the spit ready
for
me.
You're not preparing the food, you're preparing something to prepare
right.
it.
Right, that's right. That's what we're calling machshirin. Those are things. So that's what we, and we'll see it as a big machlokes about machshirin in the Gemara. The machlokas, the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda, if you're allowed to make these kinds of machshirin, and you have it in your footnote on the bottom of 226 going on to 227, can you do these preparations of the articles that are auxiliary to the cooking process? And well, of course you should do it before Yontif if possible. But what if you weren't able to, like in this case, where the spit broke on Yontif? So the rabbis say you're not allowed to do it. Rabbi Yehuda says you are allowed to do it. And the Rambam seems to be passing like the Rabbanan, who says you're not allowed to do it. Then the others say maybe even if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, but still they say it's not allowed. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam, that you're not allowed to do for these machshirin. And we'll see that the Ramah says, well, you know, if you can't use the spit at all when it's crooked and it's got to be straightened, then you know maybe you know he's saying you could use it, but you shouldn't publicize this halacha.
Can you do it in an unusual way? This is an unusual way.
Well, they don't seem to mention that, but this is the whole topic. So let's do a couple more halachas, and we'll look and see some of the practical halachas that come out of this. We'll see how far the leniencies go. But so far, we've been told by the Rambam, at least, that you cannot fix the spit that's broken. So how about a knife? A knife that's very dull. And you really can't cut properly with a dull knife. So what would you have to do? You'd have to sharpen the knife. So sharpening the knife, again, is a classical example of machshirin, the prep. That's the thing that, if you have that ready, then you can use the knife to cut the meat. So it's a step in advance. So what does the Rambam say? It'll be consistent with what he said before. You can't sharpen a knife with the regular sharpener that usually sharpens it with. Even if the knife got dulled or damaged on the yontif itself, and you couldn't have done it beforehand. It's again like the Rabbanu argued with Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbam hold that all machshirei oichel nefesh, anything that's a preparation for this, you're not allowed to use it on yontif, even if you weren't able to prepare it before every yontif. Like then that's a classic example. So what could you do? But you gotta have a knife. Without a knife, you're not gonna be able to cut your food. You can sharpen it on a piece of wood, or agave cheresh, or on a piece of earthenware, or even on stone. In other words, it's
so
very.
That sounds like an unusual way.
Yeah, that's most unusual and not very practical. But I guess.
No, but I mean.
And you'll see why.
I'm surprised he doesn't say the same thing on the previous one. You could straighten it.
But a stone is a sharpener. Like that's what they use to sharpen knives.
But I guess not the classic way. I guess whatever way he's showing is not the normal way to do it.
That's
a shinui. But don't teach this to the masses. Why? Because once they know one thing's allowed, don't forget they can use a regular sharpener as well. Now, when do we say that this is the case, that you can use these not usual ways to sharpen it? If you're allowed to cut it very great difficulty, it's hard to do it. Onifkama, or it got dented. So it's still usable, but not that great. What if the knife can't cut at all? You can't even sharpen it on wood. Why? Because we're going to allow that already, something that isn't usable at all. Then you'll already, people will other make mistakes and think they can use regular sharpeners as well.
Is that because you're creating an instrument that didn't exist?
No, it existed. It just wasn't.
No, it doesn't exist.
Wasn't really good enough. That's not the reason. He's saying the reason is we're afraid you're going to. He's saying it really would be allowed, but we're afraid you would then use a regular sharpener for it.
Can you do shchita on yotif?
We're not talking about shchita.
I know, but can you?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in the next halacha.
A while ago.
Okay, right. You can do that. So now we're coming to the next halacha that flows right into this. Because of this, asur laharas sakin lechacham biyotif. Therefore, you're not allowed. If you're a shoychet, you're not allowed to show your knife to a chacham to decide if the knife is suitable for shechita and yontif. Because that's, many times, a shochet, he's not sure. He'll show it to a chacham. The chacham will decide if it's okay, and then he'll let him use it. So, and that really is the halacha. He's really supposed to show it to a chacham beforehand to check it, that there are no indentations, nicks on the thing. So you're not allowed to do that. Why? Maybe the rabbi will say, oh, there is a nick.
But then isn't he...
Wait. And he'll say to him, he'll say, you're not allowed to shecht it now, because it's nicked. And then what'll happen? What'll the shochet do?
Sharpen it.
He'll use a proper sharpener to do it, which is not allowed.
But isn't it worse? He's violating a halacha because he's using a knife that's not sharp enough to cut them to slaughter properly. He's can't do shechita properly if he doesn't have the right knife.
So therefore, what we to assume from it, you can't shecht. Check your knife before yontif. Check your knife before yontif. It's your job. You're a shochet. Check your knife before yontif.
Can't it get dull during the day from shechting?
How much are you going to shecht on yontif already? How many shechals do you have to eat on yontif? I think one would be enough.
I don't have a beef about this.
You know, I'm just saying. So that's not a problem. But, so now, what if a chacham shor asakin asa? But what if a chacham himself is a shaykhis, doesn't have to show it to anybody, then I raise it, and so what he could do is he could look at it, and he can see the knife, and then I raise it mashil amar, then he could lend it to an ignorant person. In other words, he can, the chacham himself can look at it, and if he sees, and because the chacham isn't going to mess up on the halacha, if he's going to see it's not proper, a chacham isn't going to fix the knife, but if he takes a look at the knife, and he says, oh, this is a good knife, then he can give it to anybody and say, here's a knife, and go and shecht with the knife, and the guy could shecht the knife. Clearly the chacham could shecht it himself, but the point being, usually you brought it to a rabbi. Nowadays, they're saying the practice, every shoychet should inspect his own knife, and therefore you really should check it before the yontif. But if it wasn't done, you could check the knife before yontif, but if there's something wrong with it, you can't fix it.
I'm still struggling, Rabbi, with the previous idea. We're saying if it's able to cut but not easily, you can sharpen it. But if it can't cut at all, you can't sharpen it at all because the person would be tempted to...
If you can't cut it at all, then you're going to really want to use the proper sharpener. You know, if the thing, you can use it, so I'll try to make it a little better with the wood. But if I can't, I'll still use the way it is. But if it's not usable at all, well, if you know, he's going to start with the wood, and it's probably not going to go. You know, it could very well not go. And the guy has nothing to use. So once he's in that mindset of fixing, he's probably going to just go fix it the way it should not be done.
So we assume that a shaykhet wouldn't be tempted to sharpen the knife? Because he's learning? Like, if he inspects it, he's allowed to inspect it.
I think the problem is for Amaratz. Remember, if you're a shaykhet, has to show it to a rabbi, that means you're not so scholarly. So therefore, if you imagine, you're not such a scholarly guy. You go to the rabbi, he says, no good. So the guy says, okay, thank you. Then he goes home and he sharpens
the law.
He will sharpen it. But if the shochet is a scholar, and that's really what we're saying nowadays. Nowadays, a shochet, to be a shochet, he has to be able to... Rambam's time was 800 years ago, but not, for the last hundreds of years, every shochet has to have a Kabbalah. A Kabbalah means that he has been trained and been tested, and part of the testing is you have to be able to check the knife. That's part and parcel of not only knowing how to shecht, but you have to know how to, you take your finger and you go along the knife and check for the nicks. You have to know how to do that too. So therefore, we assume he's smart enough and erudite, clever enough that he will not then transgress if he sees it's not good. So all not nogea. I haven't seen anybody chef an animal on Yom Tov recently.
That would be one
maybe
of the halachas you need to know as a shochet. You can't sharpen it in a regular way.
Okay, now we're coming to a case that will remind you a little bit of Gemara Makkos. Ain mevakin eitzim b'yontif. You can't chop wood on yontif. Lo b'kordim, not with an axe. Lo b'magel, not with a sickle. Lo b'mager, not with a saw. Now, why would you want to chop wood? Obviously, for the fire, for the food you want to cook. So that is a step removed. But putting the fire in the oven, you're allowed it, because that's going to cook the food. But to chop the food, the wood, that's a step before the food step, and therefore that would not be allowed.
And you're wiping cooking too much without the
wood. But what could you use? Elaba kopitz. You could use a butcher's knife.
Mace, they say.
Well, a mace. I don't know what a mace is.
It's not that.
Well, my Hebrew says, sakin shel katzavim. A knife of butchers.
We
don't know what a mace is. And it's forbidden to chop wood with anything other than a knife.
Yeah, mace is that sort of thing.
Forbidden to chop wood with anything other than a regular knife.
Of the round table.
Yeah, but that mace.
So we're not sure what it is.
Spherical thing with that knobby thing.
So they're only going to let you chop wood with a knife, which isn't going to help you much, right?
Tenderizer.
Oh yeah, maybe that's what they use for tenderizer.
Anyway, who knows? But anyway, and even that, kopitz ubitzarachat, so do it on the sharp side of a lobe tzarachov, not the wide side, but since we don't know what a kofitz is, it's not going to help us. Then she kikordim, because if it's on the wide side, then it's like an axe, and it can't be like an axe. So it's got to be something that is quite different than the typical axe. The lama super kordim creator, why do we not allow someone to chop wood with an axe? What's wrong with that? Answer is shalo yasekader shoyser v'chol. He shouldn't do it the way he normally does on the weekday. Shav shahayil v'akem erev yontif. He could have done this on erev yontif. And since it's machshirei yochel, the preparations for the thing to make food, and you could have done an erev yontif, you're not allowed to push off yontif for that.
I can see how this could be a big problem.
Now, so let's take it a step further. If that's the case, v'lomel neser b'kokal. So let's just say any kind of chopping isn't allowed, even with the kopitz, even with the mace. Why do we allow anything? The answer is, because let's say a guy's got wood chopped before Shabbos, but now he got a bum piece of wood. Sometimes you get a thick piece of wood that it just doesn't catch.
Right.
You know, you prepared your wood. Here's my wood. It was a bad group of
lots. You have to break up the wood.
Below yuchalaviro, and you can't use it. You can't make a fire from this.
If it gets wet.
And you're not going to end up cooking. And you're not going to have any food. Therefore, we allow you to chop with a shinui. There's the word shinui there. But for cholad ramadimos, anything similar to this, the same laws. And then misa'at tam, for this reason, that's why the rabbis allowed what they allowed. They prohibited what they prohibited, depending on the scenario. So let's say, for chopping the wood, they say, we got to let the guy chop. If we don't chop the wood, he's not going to have any, could not have the wood, he's not going to have any food. On the other hand, we're saying that to sharpen the knife, again, we would say it has to be with a shinui. But if it's not possible with a shinui, so again, it's the same idea. We want people to at least have something to eat, but if it's going to get to the extreme where people are going to fight, we're more sure people are going to violate the law, then we don't allow that to happen.
So, if it rains, all the wood's wet, you can't make a fire. So if you chop it, it's dry on the inside, you can make a fire out of it.
Okay, that could be another example.
What would the rules be with respect to using the wood to heat your home?
You're allowed to use wood to heat your home. We already said for fire. So that's going to be a whole discussion. Do we say that? So let's take a look. We'll see. There's quite a bit of pages in the English Sefer here to take a look and come up with some halach over here. Okay. So again, the idea of, it's called in Hebrew, machshirei ochal nefesh. Malachas that are necessary to enable the preparation of food. Now, so, number one, it's permitted to do this when one is not able to do them before Yontif. When one is not able at all to do them before Yontif.
And it's fully permitted.
But there are certain places where it's only limited, not only for the food process, right, but we also have to have certain conditions have to be met as well. So now, what's the definition of machshirin? So the definition is any malacha that does not alter the food itself, but enables one to prepare the yontif meal. In other words, you're not dealing with the food, But without it, you couldn't have the meal.
Preliminary.
So that's what he's saying. Sharpening a dull knife is considered a malacha. That's a machshirin. That enables you to work with that. Now, it doesn't alter the food, but it prepares the food. So that's what the footnote over here says. So even when you're sharpening, when it is permissible, the knife cannot be sharpened on a wet, W-H-E-T, stone. Only a wooden sharpener or another knife may be used.
W-H-E-T, wet stone.
What?
Do you know what that means?
I don't know. But anyway, and he says the same thing like we learned. And if the knife is so dull that it doesn't cut, it may not be sharp on Yom Tov. It's exactly the way we learned it in the Rambam.
I always thought that meant word meant like whet your appetite.
Yeah. But what does it mean?
I don't know.
Can you play a trick and sharpen the knife to cut food, and then?
He's gonna talk about that later. Hang on. Let's just be patient. He's gonna explain it all. Now here's another interesting case. What if you, I know none of your wives are into this anymore, but our mothers were. How about sewing up a chicken to hold in the stuffing?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Right? I remember your mother did it, but your wife will never do it, right?
Nope.
So that is also the malacha of machshirin. Because the work, what's the work? It's sewing. Sewing is a malacha on Yontif. It doesn't alter the food, but what does it do? It enables the chicken to hold the stuffing in there.
So they allow it?
So you're allowed to do it, yeah, but only if you thread the needle before Yontif. You have to thread the needle before Yontif. And then even if it falls out, but once you put it in, you can still use it. But there's all kinds of issues with thread, but I don't think any ladies are doing this.
My mother was a dressmaker, so
I don't have to get into this.
Well, they don't use thread in it anyways. They use string or something or other, and they put the I've seen it like where they like put these like owls, these like,
okay,
they call this thing a big thing, plunger, put a big hole in it, and like just like three holes or something or other, and put string through it. So it's not like really sewing.
There's different ways. I know my mother did. I remember seeing my mother sew. She, mamish, had a needle and thread and sewed that whole thing. I mamish saw it. I was freaked out the first time I saw it. but that, and they stuffed all the stuff in.
I bet you that stuffing was good.
It was really fattening, I'll tell you. So now, here's a critical point. So even though the Torah allows machshirim in certain situations, but it only applies where the utensil will be later used directly to prepare the food. But if the machshirim will not be directly involved afterwards, it's not allowed. So like chopping the wood. The wood is directly involved in preparing the food. The needle, you know, the kishka, whatever, the skin was directly involved in preparing the food. But let's say like this. Could you write down a recipe on Yontif? In other words, you want to know how to do it. So the person says, well, I'll tell you, I know the recipe by heart, and I'm in a rush. I'll tell you that I'm leaving. And it's 12 steps to the recipe. The person is going to tell it to you in one ear, out the other. So what's going to help? So now, this is a machshirim, because I'm writing it in order to be able to prepare the food. But what are you doing? You're writing on the piece of paper. Is the piece of paper going to be preparing the food?
Yeah, and after it's all written down, the food's no further prepared.
Right.
What if you're writing on parchment?
So even though you're not going to remember the ingredients, and you won't be able to prepare the food, but that's not going to help. Because even though it's a preparation for, without the ingredients, I don't know. Without the recipe, I can't make it. But once I have the ingredients, I'm not any step closer directly to making the food. I chop the wood goes right into the oven. I cut the knife. I sharpen the knife. So the knife now is, you know, going to be cutting the chicken. Right? So that's clearly what is fixed is being used on the food. The recipe is not being used on the food. Right? So that wouldn't be allowed. Similarly, a broken table on Yontif can't be fixed because the food, even though it's hard to eat without a table, but the table does not have a direct role in preparing the food. So you say, well, but it's for the food. It's not directly for that. And similarly, it's forbidden to do a malacha that's a preparation for a preparation. Like two steps away. So in a case where a knife could be sharpened, you can't first fix the knife sharpener in order to fix the knife in order to cut the food.
Which sounds like a
two steps away.
Would you be able to like
because that? The item, right? Because the item that you fix, the knife sharpener will not be involved in the preparation of the food. Okay. Also, when machshirin is allowed, you can only fix an existing utensil, but not create a new utensil. Right. Just like we said, with food preparation, long-term malachas aren't allowed, only for the meal you need, not for much more than that. So similarly, with the machshirin, you can't create a new utensil, because that would be considered also a long-term thing, which we don't do long-term things. Okay. Now, it's also, so now we have to go through certain conditions where we permit the machshirin. Because it's different psukim that seem to suggest, in the one case, only exact food preparation. Another pasuk seems to indicate even the things that prepare the food preparations. So you have to make some kind of compromise and understanding, and therefore you get different halachas. So therefore, rule number one. If the utensil breaks on yontif itself, then it's considered a situation you weren't able to take care of before yontif. And even if the utensil, and therefore you could fix it on yontif. That's one rule. If it breaks on yontif, you can fix it.
How about your stove? If it breaks on yontif, can you fix it?
Well, that's going to be that's a much bigger job. There's way too many long term effects of that. You would not be able to fix the stove. That's a lot more involved. But if the utensil, even if let's say the utensil broke before yontif, or you weren't aware that it broke, you didn't have time to fix it before yontif, you could still fix it on yontif. Based on what we said, but if you plan to fix a broken utensil before yontif, but you just forgot to, then you cannot fix it on yontif. Now, also machshirin are only permitted when you don't have another alternative, right?
Like
let's say your friend has a knife that works next door, and he'll be happily lend it to you, and it's kosher the knife, so you can borrow from him. Or let's say the utensil can still be used, you can accomplish the goal even if I don't fix it, then by all means you should be able to do it.
Listen, I have very practical.
So that's not like what the Rambam said before.
Our stove broke today, okay? The cooktop. We called a repairman. He probably will come on Yom Tov.
No, that was not going to be allowed.
You can't fix it. It's a goy coming to fix it, you can't fix it, right?
No. Now,
back to the utensil, if you knew it was broken and you forgot, can someone else in your household who didn't know it was broken fix it?
I don't know, because it's going to be for your benefit.
It's on yontif when they're cooking for 20 people when it breaks.
It's going to be for yontif. You have more than one stove in your house.
It's a long story with the fire in the basement.
Okay.
So yeah, that seems really lenient, because on Chol HaMoed you're not allowed to do certain repairs if you're expert.
But on Chol HaMoed you could fix the stove.
Yeah.
Because that's a need for the moed. And that's allowed. They can fix it on Chol HaMoed, but not on yontif.
What would you be able to do to your stove if it wasn't working on yontif?
You got a problem.
All the electrics and stuff?
The downstairs doesn't work?
You got a problem.
Well, the fire killed most of us.
Well, you either find a neighbor who will lend you their stove on your yontif. Bad chance.
We bought these things. $15 in Walmart, you can get a burner.
That's what you do.
And you can cook on that.
It was meant that you should just go to Sobeys and, go to Cuckoo's and order the food.
No, she's cooking, but she's okay. Using it's amazing. Right. You get a burner for $15.
All right. Anyway, let's continue. Another halacha is, this one I can skip. Let's do the next one. Now, we said regarding certain malachas on yontif that are directly related to food preparation, like cooking and carrying, we learned the rule of mitoch, which meant that since you can use the fire for cooking, you can use fire for other things as well for yontif. Since you can use carrying on yontif for food, you can carry other things. We said this rule of mitoch, and we said some places we don't apply it. So now with machshirim, there even though any malacha is permitted, that as we said, but we don't apply the principle of mitoch for that. So for example, even when a machshirim is permitted. Let's say you weren't able to prepare it before you have it broke on yontif. You can only do the things that have pertained to food preparation, but not for any other yontif need. So let's say, even though in certain situations you're permitted to fix a cooking utensil that broke on yontif, right? But you can't fix a broken stroller. You say, well, why not? I need the stroller. I need to stroll my kid. But that already, and it was something that was broken before yontif, and it's right? But that you cannot do. Okay, and one last intriguing halacha. He says like this, even those malachas that have direct use in food preparation, and such as cooking and caring, and are permitted by Torah law, even though they could have been done before yontif, right? And can only be used for another direct Yom Tov need. So, let's say in a situation where the use is indirect, so they're only permitted under the guidelines of Machshirim, and only if it could have been Yom Tov. So let's give an example. He says, so you can't heat water to kasher a utensil that became treif before Yom Tov. Right? Even though it's heating water permitted?
Yeah,
you're allowed to heat water to wash your body, right? Right? Even though they became dirty before Yom Tov, because washing hands is considered direct need. Right? So you can heat water for the purpose, and we use this mitoch even if it's not for food preparation, right? But the kasher utensil, right, that only prepares it to cook the food, which is an indirect need. So therefore, you know, it's only if you couldn't kasher it beforehand, then you could kasher it.
Is that only one step removed?
Doesn't matter, but it's an indirect need. So only permitted if you couldn't kasher it beforehand, or it became treif on Yom Tov. So if it became treif on Yom Tov, then you could fix it. But if it was, but if you could have done it before Yom Tov, we don't apply this mitoch rule under that situation.
And you knew.
Yeah, if you knew. But if you didn't know, and oh, it's treif. I didn't know it got treif. So now you can boil water, and then you could kasher the things. So you could kasher things on Yom Tov. You needed to, if it came up on Yom Tov. Let's say you trafed it on Yom Tov, because you could boil water, even though the pot, it's only a preparation for it, right? And normally we would allow heating that you could have done before Yom Tov, but you want to do it after Yom Tov because it's for your needs. But if it's an indirect thing, like the machshirim, that we do not.
Yeah, because you're not going to use that boiled water to heat.
Oh, wow. Right. Okay. Is that a half an hour? Yeah, I think we could stop. Okay.